Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. I'm joined with my co-host, my partner in life, we don't have any crime in our life, but if we did, that would be my partner in crime, my ride and die, Dr. Yes. Mary Oberstein. Hey, Mary, good to see you.
Hi, good to see you.
And we've got a really special guest that you will absolutely fall in love with, just his personality, his soul, his spirit, his heart for chiropractic, Dr. TJ Gadillion. So TJ, welcome. I screwed that up. My French is terrible, right?
It's Ukrainian. So
it's Ukrainian. I'm Ukrainian Canadian who, oh my gosh.
So that's why we go with Dr. G for
Dr. Example. G. Yeah. There you go. There you go. But please say your last name.
So it's Gudilin, like Gudilin with you. And when we were taking part four boards, can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, please.
25 seconds. We were at the Life West Clinic. And one of the ladies, when we're checking in for part fours, and I forgot that everybody taking part fours checking in was behind me. And the lady asked how to pronounce my name. And, you know, the ladies that help on part four, they're all older ladies that and all women were there. And I said out loud, you had to emphasize the D. And I looked behind me and everybody was in stitches and I didn't even process how I said it, but it's Gudilin, emphasis on the D. And yeah, I didn't live that down.
Oh, I'm sure.
The time at Life West.
You're going, guess I'm coming back here in 6 months.
Yeah. So yeah, it's Gudilin.
I love
Gudilin.
It. Let me tell you about Dr. TJ. So 2016 graduate from Life West, 9.5 years in his own practice for 9 years. And originally from Winnipeg, Manitoba, in the great up north, right? North of the border, Canada.
Yeah.
Was a pilot in the Canadian Air Force for 6 years, officer. And moved down to California. We'll get a story of how you got into chiropractic. Came to California to attend Life West. Knew he wanted to be a chiropractor at a certain point. I think we derailed you from going to Georgia to coming to Life West to coming to California, which was a great move because ended up, you know, he's got his own practice now and ended up meeting his wife. And he's got probably the greatest joy in your life is, you know, your wife, Linda, and you've got two beautiful kids, you know, two daughters, right? And a 4-year-old Mina and 2-year-old Charlie, and then boom, you're pregnant again and expecting just a little while, probably about 6 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And you're joining my club, aren't you, bro?
Yeah.
Dad's a daughter. Three daughters, huh? It's the best.
Hey, if I could follow in good footsteps like yours, Ron, then I'm winning, man.
It's the best. It's the best. And I'm just excited about it. And you know, and he's just doing a really amazing things. And he's just a heartfelt chiropractor that you're going to be able to hear from and has been through a lot in his 9.5 years, but you'll hear that also. So, so welcome, man. We're excited to get moving on this.
Well, I tell you, when you introduced your wife, I didn't think I was going to get nearly as good of an introduction because that was pretty badass. But I tell you, that was a great intro. And I would love to hire you as my hype man. I just don't know if I could afford you.
Well,
that's great.
Here's the thing, man.
Thanks for having me.
As long as it's not a eulogy, man, I've been speaking for so many years and they introduced me and it's like, you know, did I die? Like, what's up here? But anyways, let's jump in, talk about it. Mary.
Well, we've been wanting to get you on this for a while. I think Sharon was emailing you. And one day I said to her, I bet you the emails are going to his spam. You need to find a different way to reach out to him.
And then boom, as soon as I saw the email, you guys put a smile on my face. I was like, podcast with Dr. Oberstein's? Count me in.
Well, dude, okay. I'm telling you, because we saw you, you know, we saw you at different events, right? Yeah. You know, outside the campus and on the campus. And we told you, we're going to do this, right? And then it was like, I'm not hearing back. I'm not hearing back. And then Mary just hit it on the head. Like TJ would get you right away. So, and that's when we found out it went to spam. But it's
okay. Well, let's jump in so we don't.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a lot we want to cover. Okay. So the first question we always ask is, how did you find chiropractic, or how did chiropractic find you specifically? My interest is always, was there one inflection point, one moment where you went, that's what I want to do? So just kind of like, bring us like to what the journey was to where you said.
I got goosebumps, Mary. Just you, the way you posed that question, I got goosebumps, because I don't know if you can see, but I have this dent in my head. And right up here, next time we run into each other, you can put your foot, your finger in there. It's not that big a foot. But when I was a little boy, probably about 3 years old, my mom says I was having a temper tantrum and I was stomping down the stairs going from the second floor to the first floor. I tripped on a toy and I stumbled down the stairs. At the base of the stairs is a closet. I hit my head on the corner of the wall. I cracked my head open. Ooh. And I woke up in the hospital as a little boy. And that's really my first memory of life, is waking up in the hospital. And so the hospital made sure that, I survived, but nobody checked my neck. And as I grew up in my adolescence, I had these terrible migraines. I remember being in eighth grade, putting those big black garbage bags on my bedroom windows so it could be black and I could be laying down and wrap a tensor bandage or ACE bandage around my head, thinking if I just chopped my head off, these pulsating migraines would go away. Mm-hmm. And what happened that same year is we got introduced to rugby in Vancouver, Canada, and I played rugby in eighth grade, and I hurt my neck on the field in a tackle. And my mother, via my coach, recommended a chiropractor. And my mother brought me to Dr. Brian Whitehead's office. Mm-hmm. And I walked in there, and he'd been working with my mom. And when he walked into the room, it was like his energy came through. And I was like, wow. And then he worked on me. Obviously he adjusted me, adjusted my neck. And since I was 13 and no longer have those migraines, I remember driving home in eighth grade, still remember my mom's brown car. And I told her, I said, I'm going to be a chiropractor one day. Mm-hmm. That was 1994.
Wow.
And so I did all this cool stuff and served my country. And I thought that, like, I always had this desire to serve, but it was at Life West, July 8th, 2013, when the light bulb clicked, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it. Such a beautiful story. And you know what? So you hit on a really good point, because, you know, and we hear this often, you see it, right? You know, Johnny fell down, Johnny hit his head, Johnny fell off the monkey bars, Johnny was in an accident, you know, in playing football, whatever. And they go through all these other places, which, you know, it's okay. And it takes them a little bit of a time to get to us, right? But for you, it sounded like it took quite a while. How long were those migraines for?
All through childhood. For, you know, probably I started really noticing them when I was like six, but six till 13. So 7 years.
Were they medicating? Did you have pretty heavy dose?
Yeah, just drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs, no, nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you find out that just, so, you know, subluxation in the upper cervical, wherever it might have been, and boom, you know, life changes. It's a great story. It's a great story.
That's a great story. I mean, you know, do you ever get migraines now?
So I did the other day. I had a migraine, but nothing like that. And the migraine that I had was more likely remnants of my shoulder injury. You know, I played rugby for 20 years. That was, you know, and I had that opportunity at Life West. And so there's some lingering when you play any kind of contact sport for a long period of time. You know, there's going to be aftermaths.
Oh, yeah.
Well, dude, you're one of the OGs, bro. You know, I mean, you were literally one of the original gangsters that started the rugby program at Life West, you know, and so you can always wear that on your shoulder, on your head, in the dent. I don't know, wherever you want to put it, but it's going to be OGR, baby. You know, Original gangster from rugby.
That's right. You know, I took Kate Jones was giving me the tour when I came to Life West, because I wasn't supposed to go to Life West. I was supposed to go to Life U. And but I Kate Jones gave me the tour and stopped in Tez Malloy's office. And I introduced myself as his starting fly half, because she told me that they were going to do rugby. And I said, OK, we got to go meet this guy. He's got to know about me because I'm going to be his guy.
Yeah, and you became it.
I became his guy.
You became it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I want to switch gears because I want to ask you about this because, you know, you came out, you know, you graduated, and then I think you were, you know, you went up to Canada, but then you came back here, you know, California, associated, and you were with a very wonderful doctor. And unfortunately, you know, the doc had a heart attack and it just wasn't a good situation. And you kind of got thrown in to a practice.
Yeah.
You know, and in a very traumatized way for not just you and not just the family, obviously, but also the team members, you know, the staff there, the patients, all that stuff. But you were able to step in and, you know, take chiropractic first. And I will give a shout out as Dr. Ken Savage, who was just a phenomenal heart, big personality, lover of chiropractic, and chiropractic loved him. And you stepped into this practice and you know, and was able to, you know, keep it going and make that happen, and, you know, but not expecting that at that time. So how'd you deal with that? Because I think it's an important thing to look at.
Really, I guess a lot of heavy drinking.
Wine, beer, or were you really, really into the vodka or whatever, you know?
All of the, I'll take them all. No, you know, Ron, the way you pose it, it's so great of a question, and it's so purpose, Ron. Like I never once questioned what the purpose was. Like I came and stayed in the Bay Area originally after graduating for a girl. She was a single mom, so we had to stay in the area because custody, and that didn't work out, but this is my practice, like my patients. This is my community. This is my family. And so I never wavered in that. And then knowing the bigger purpose, everything else falls in line. And then, you know, having a coach, having someone to help in that process. Like I had Dr. John Baker. I still have Dr. John Baker walk me through that. But definitely losing Dr. Savage and not having that person here. And then having a good system in place, having a good system. I had an office manager, and she's tragically passed away last year too. Long battle with brain cancer. Wow. They gave her 6 months to live. She lasted 14 years.
Wow.
Her mantra, happy, healthy, healing every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
So going back to it, it's, are the systems in place? What is the purpose? And so I never wavered. Even the day I found out he passed, I bawled. Then I looked in the mirror, tied up my tie, and then I went out and served the rest of the day without sharing with the people, because that's what he would have wanted. And that's what we do. It's not about us. It's about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But, and also going through that, you know, I mean, obviously everyone was traumatized. The people coming in, you know, the practice members, it was just such a huge shift, and everybody had to kind of stay in that space. You just can't ignore that, you know, their doctor, you know, just transitioned. So, you know, how did you move through that process? Or was it, were you all just going through it together, you know?
You know, yeah, that's really, we all kind of did it together. And we have a high volume office. Like at that time, we were probably seeing about 500 visits a week. And I tell you, even though the trauma, there's two people we lost. Everyone else, the retention was like 99.8%, you know, or 99.98%. Two people, it was just too traumatic, like you said, and the emotional component. When they would come in, it would be too much. And that's understandable. But most people understood exactly what we do at this chiropractic office, and in a wellness facility where it's about optimal health, about working our best, about the chiropractic adjustment. And Dr. Savage had a lot of associates. So over the years, he trained a lot of doctors, and I followed in that footsteps. And so really making sure that there's the business side of it as well, and not just a personality-based practice. You know, you guys know me pretty well. I'm pretty much a personality-based practice these days.
But you still have the systems down that if someone was to leave, and you know, and then you know, obviously
I'm still figuring it out, Ron. Like, and I'm sure you're still figuring it out after all these years, right? Like, I'm never going to know it all in any way. I know a lot more now than I did then, and I'd love to share with, you know, new doctors and learn from. Don't make the same mistakes, you know. So save yourself some heartache, and save yourself some money.
So I have a question. So there's not a lot. Well, I don't know that. I don't know that to be true. I was going to say there are not a lot of chiropractors who could go from being in an associate position to then, like, in a couple hours, to be the so-called leader in the office. Correct? Like, and I know you well enough to know you have leadership qualities. Did you feel like almost like an imposter syndrome when you, like, because the next day you were the guy, you were the doctor that everyone looked to? Dr. Savage was gone. Did you feel like, okay, you know, yep, I'm here, I'm ready for this? Or were you like kind of like wavering because you were also grieving?
Yeah, I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready.
No, like, so when I first came here and I met Dr. Savage and I was shadowing to see if I wanted to work here, I watched that man give more hugs in the 2 hours I was here than I had seen shadowing anyone. And I just knew big picture, like, I was going to be here. He had an associate working for him. And in that first interview, I told him, you know what? You might as well fire that guy. I'm your guy. You know, I'm your guy. And so
I'm going to be your wing back. I'm getting your MO now, dude.
Yeah, really.
I'm your guy. And so, but because I knew, and so Mary, I was scared and maybe I wasn't ready, but I knew the big picture that I was the boss and I needed to work for myself anyways. Because, you know, when you are the boss, you get to call the shots too. And so it's just now, probably the scary part was making sure the success and also going back with the other stuff is, being confident enough to tell yourself that it's okay to be successful. Mm. Like, you know, you're taking over this practice, but the success is coming from the work you're putting in, not because of that practice, but because you're there every day and taking ownership of that success. Like I, you know, it's weird as this might sound, like, I deserve to be successful because I put the work in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The success came from the work. It didn't just come because it's a chiropractic office. We don't get patients just because it says chiropractic, or not usually, right?
Yeah.
You have to put that work in.
Yep.
And so.
And, you know, it brings up a good point because, you know, a lot of times people might think, oh, good, well, I've arrived, you know, and no one ever arrives.
Yeah.
Or wherever you arrive today, you're going to have to arrive tomorrow, right? And it constantly grows. And it is. It's so true. You know, you don't just become. And even when someone becomes the best at what they're doing, they got to maintain and they got to put the work in and still do it, right? And make it happen. So, I have a question. You went through a very traumatic, you know, I wouldn't say traumatic, but you went through a very abrupt way of walking into a practice one day, right? Like that. And the two things that you can think of now that you probably do well, but that you didn't feel comfortable with at that time, what would those two things be?
So, management and business. I don't know if those are two, but like, so managing staff. Mm-hmm. Right. Going from the associate where you have the head doctor managing your CAs, your office managers, managing the staff and as the boss, like, you know, if you say something, like, that's what you got to do. And then the other thing is the business side. Understanding, and I still don't, and we're not going to, but learning more about the business side of running the business, just the little things, the little details mm-hmm. every day. Where, you know, I probably just blew through a lot of money, because of poor business handling, and not paying more attention to it, giving it the details it deserved, but also you have to find the time to do it. Like, if you're seeing 500 people a week by yourself, plus you're running the office, like having a good team around you to make sure that accountability.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts, and you didn't have the luxury of like preparing for this and then saying, okay, I'm going to open my doors in 3 months and I'm going to do ABC. It was literally thrown in. And it's, I think you're right. When you're an associate, it's impossible. Like the staff sees you, the team sees you as the associate and they know who the boss is. And to just turn the switch the next day, like, I mean, I can't even imagine what
Oh,
that was like.
2 days after, so it was Wednesday. On Thursday, the next day, the other associate, she said to me, Dr. Savage had promised me to be paying me more. And so I want 2,000 more a month or I'm not staying. It's like, this guy just died yesterday. What? Like, so it went from three doctors in the office to myself.
Wow. So in other words, it was like, no, see you later.
Well, I just, because to me, that would just was making it about themselves and not about the patient. And so that's not someone that I wanted to have work with anyways.
Are you still the only doctor in that office?
No, I have an associate from Palmer.
Oh, nice.
Probably need a Life West associate.
We can work on that.
Get a preceptor in there.
He's gonna see this. I love my associate, but I probably need a Life West associate.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's interesting too because Mary, you brought that up. It's like not only is going from the associate doctor, right, to the boss, but they were looking for a leader too. They needed someone to kind of they were they as much as you had to jump up, they wanted you to jump up because they there was no captain on the wheel, so to speak, right?
You give me goosebumps, man.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, it's just what it is, and at that time, and obviously you got the right personality to be able to say, okay, good, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna get through this, and we might make a few wrong turns, but we're gonna get through this. Let's all go through together, because that's kind of how you operate, So, it's big.
So one thing too, and I think, and the family asked me to speak at his service. It was a big service because he's affected a lot of people. He's in practice for 30 years. But at the service, when I went up and I spoke, that was exactly what I said, Ron, is what you were just saying in this process. And then, Mary, to go back, what you were asking earlier, I sat and did a consult with every single patient over the following weeks, game plans. Like the other day, I adjusted someone. It was his 1,272nd visit at our office. And so, big picture was just to remind everyone, why you're coming to chiropractic first and the importance of chiropractic as part of our health. And we're not going to waver. And we haven't wavered.
And I love the name. Chiropractic first, baby.
And it goes back to what you said before as well. And when you brought up purpose, that's what I'm hearing. It's like what it's like you show up and just remember your purpose. And it won't be perfect, but a lot of that other stuff is just secondary to those two things, right? Showing up and just remembering your purpose and staying on purpose. Sounds
When
as
it helps
simple.
when I have people like you guys from the minute I was in school, I think I met Ron first quarter. I don't know if you remember that, Ron, but Katie Schlein introduced you,
Of course, I remember that,
and it
man.
was a
I mean, that's the
CCA
only thing I
event. Ian
remember
Germain was there.
from 2013.
Yes, sir.
Were you in Katie's class?
I was with Katie every day for like 360, or for what? For 3.5 years. 3.5 years almost every day with Katie, every class. She's
That's
awesome.
great.
Just awesome. I have to tell you that it's I mean, you're sitting here, you've got a view of, grew up in Canada, in the Canadian service, came down to the States, saw our lifestyle, married a gal from the States, you saw, you've had both views, and you were able to, you came out of a healthcare system in Canada that was a more of a universal healthcare system, right? And came into the States, probably saw the crazy stuff that we were doing, and I just got a question for you. Like, talking just about the state of healthcare right now, because it's cool because you got such a good view, a world view on it, at least, or North American view. What would you say if I asked you, like, what do you think about the state of healthcare right now?
Isn't it scary?
Always been.
And especially since everything that happened with the pandemic and the protocols that were implemented. And, I just remember reading the other day about 80% of disease is metabolic in nature. So it's the stuff we're doing and putting in our body. So when you have a healthcare system that's meant for either drugs or surgery, and then you have a food system that's meant for profit and not health, it's like, when do we, where do we get the good stuff? Like, how do we learn from this? And it's people such as yourselves and the commitment you've made to make sure that we're producing a more vitalistic health approach with the doctors. I'm just looking beyond. I had this drug jug, so this big 5 gallon drug jug, and people when they stop taking their medications because they no longer needed them, like high blood pressure patients that were starting to get hypotensive because after the cervical adjustment, the vasodilation would help and it would lower their blood pressure in conjunction with their high blood pressure medication. So it was like, what do I do? Do I stop getting adjusted or do I stop taking these pills? I'm going to stop taking these pills. So this big drug jug is on the behind here. Someone threw a rock through my window during the pandemic and grabbed the drug jug.
To steal it.
They stole a bunch of old antacids and high blood pressure medications, but they threw a rock through the window to take the drug jug. So I don't have it here anymore, but I was sharing that story because that's what it's about, is having to bring this attention to healthcare system and the state of our health. It's scary. It's scary for my children. It's scary, that they have to check these box or go see the doctor and get these things done in order to go to school. And when it's not necessarily the best approach, but it's mandated. And I'm kind of talking in code here because
No,
I'm
I
not.
totally get it. I get it. But the thing that we've never done, and I know this, I know why, because of profits. It's profits over people. But we've never segmented the systems. Because really, you're talking. We're really talking. When I asked you the question, I apologize because I should have said, "What do you think about our sick care system?" Right?
Yeah.
And we've never really segmented. We've never segregated it to be able to say, we've got a sick care system, which is awesome, right? When people need to be in that system. Freaking awesome.
Triage.
But then we have a healthcare system. And we've never it just became one. And it's kind of like if I go to a health food store or a health food restaurant, whatever you want to say, right? I pretty much know I'm going to get some pretty healthy stuff there, right?
Right.
And I can't say that's true for health food stores because that kind of, that you can still get junk. But back in the day, you went to a health food store back in the 70s, I mean, it was all just, whatever. It was all organic stuff, right? And then if you go somewhere else, you know what you're going to get. But in our model that we have, when it comes around sick health, whatever you want to call it, it's all combined. And I think that's a major issue, that we have, because I'd be going for the health. And people can make a choice. Do you want to go for the sick? You want to go, they might come to the health and we might say, dude, you need to be over in the sick care area over there, right? You've got something, you got an aorta that's going to explode on you. Get over there, right? Because we saw many of those on x-rays and then come back, we just, it's never been delineated like that. But I know it's profit over people, right?
Yeah, and just to add to that, Ron, like the other day, there's a letter going out of upon review. I found maybe a cancerous lesion on a femur. That's beyond our scope. That you need to get into that sick care system immediately. We got to monitor this. We got to do some more scans, and we got to get into that realm. And then also add to that with the health care as well, like the healthy system, the wellness is maybe we also need to be looking at what you're putting in your body. And what you're not putting in your body that you should be putting in your body.
That's right. And what your stress levels are. And I mean, it's everything, isn't it? It's everything.
Which is why we need more chiropractors out there educating people on what health really is. You know, they've just been brainwashed for so long.
Every corner of our country, there should be, every corner of the world, there should be four chiropractors, right? And every corner, four chiropractors or chiropractic offices, or offices that have chiropractors in them, right? And multiple chiropractors. And we got to take care of the population. So huge. I love it. I love it. OG, baby.
And the principal, a principled chiropractor, sorry, Ron, and just like, not just a chiropractor, because we got the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And the great. And on this call, we got three great ones. But it can get skewed too when I don't want to use the word mixer, but mixer is, it's important to talk about, because when we lose that purpose, because we use that word already, when we lose that purpose, or we don't have the philosophy and we're not principled, we're going to lose what we're talking about. And then if we're not strong enough, we'll fall into that category because it'll get enticed with money. But the importance of being principled and grounded on what our mission is. And that's why behind me on that wall, every day people come in, they see what our mission is.
Yep.
Through natural chiropractic care.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And just recently we just defeated a bill. Mary and I are both licensed in the great state of Montana. We've got a home there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just defeated a bill there. Not us, but I wrote a letter for it. But you know, and they wanted to introduce chiropractors to be able to prescribe drugs, and it was any drugs. It would be up to the chiropractic profession there in Montana of what they could prescribe, and you know, it lost. By one vote, it lost.
Right, 50-49, right?
Yeah, 50-49. But you know, I have to tell you, the scary thing is, it's not just people prescribing who don't know how to prescribe and da da da. Because drugs are necessary when you know they're needed when they're necessary. But it's also people don't know what chiropractic is then.
Yeah.
And that's the messaging. The messaging is they don't know what they can get. And, you know, and for us, you know, it's like the number one thing. I don't care what people do as long as they're checking for vertebral subluxation and correcting when they're present, right? That's the most important thing, because that's what we do. That's who we are, right? Co-regulation, allow that nervous system to function to the best of its ability. And if we ever lose that, you know, the profession's gone. It's right. Gone. You know, I got to tell you, it ain't going to leave us because of people like you. And I really mean it, Teach. If you know, people like you who are willing to stand up. And, you know, I didn't even know that you even knew the word mixer, because that goes back to like the 70s and 80s, bro. I don't hear people saying that who graduated in 2016, but it's still there. But that's because you work. That's because you're in Ken's office, right? You know, kind of deal.
No, it's my office, Ron.
Well, it's your office, but Ken will always be there, right? He's the OG of that office. And we're all just renting space in somebody else's place, right? Hey, listen, we got to wrap. We always ask our guests on our Life by Life West two questions before we sign off. Okay. And innate response, whatever hits you first. It could be one word, no more than 30 seconds on it. But you'll love it. Mary, you start.
Okay, I'll start with the first one. Okay, so you're going to go back and you're going to be able to give advice to TJ, first day of first quarter at Life West. Now, with all your knowledge and experience and wisdom, what would you say to him now?
I would smack him first and foremost. What the hell's the matter with you, man? And then I would tell him to stop and smell the roses.
Mm.
Slow down, enjoy the ride.
Great advice.
Great advice. Great advice.
Love it.
And keep sitting next to Katie, right? Make sure you sit next to Katie's line. Shout out, Katie. And also, my second question is this. The second question is this. Same scenario, who you are right now, what you've learned, what's there. But now we want you to speak to Dr. TJ, who in December of 2016 walked across that stage at my very first graduation that I presided over, walked across that stage. What would you tell that TJ, Dr. TJ?
Well done. Now go get it. Mm-hmm. And don't stop.
Yeah.
Be bigger. Go bigger. Keep doing it.
Love it. Love it.
Go bigger, go home.
I love it.
And you're not going to be a boy dad. You're going to be a girl dad, bro.
There you go, bro.
There you go.
There you go. There you go. I love it. I
you never
it.
Told me the hormone change, Ron, when you have your first daughter, hey, dude, man.
I'm
Why am I crying watching Mulan? Why am I crying watching Mulan?
I'm going to tell you the whole course, man. You know, and wait till you start. I was going to say, wait till you start losing your hair. But that's not from the estrogen in the house. No, 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 no.
I saw a gray hair the other day.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You're too young.
Welcome, man. Welcome. All right. Well, thank you, Tej. It was great having you and great
Thanks
listening.
So much for having
just
me.
Really great conversation. I just appreciate you so much. Big time. Big time. And to our audience, thank you. Thanks for, you know, tuning in day in and day out, week in and week out, really, is when we drop these. You know, this is Life by Life West. The opposite weeks, we drop a Life West leadership line. We're just thrilled that you're around, thrilled that you're, you know, you share this with others. And Dr. TJ dropped some pretty cool nuggets. I can't wait. Dr. Mary and I get to listen to this again, right? And you know, before it gets released. And it's so cool to just kind of see what was said. And I was like, wow. You know, just I know there's a lot of wows. Take those wows, share it with others. There's people who are in all kinds of situations in their lives. You know, left, right, in the center, doesn't matter. Just share it, and we certainly appreciate you. And until we come back at you for Dr. TJ, myself, and Dr. Mary, we want to wish you the best. Make sure that you keep loving those people around you, letting people know that they're much more powerful inside than they were ever led to believe. There's a healing power within them, and that. You take care of yourself, and we'll see you at the next Life by Life West. See you later.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.